Kevin McCullough, breaking news, what it means and why it matters. Straight ahead here on Kevin McCullough Radio. So there were these two men, very historical figures. One was a president, one was a civil rights leader, both very, very well spoken, both very, very poorly educated. And yet they had great animosity and great respect for each other. What's the unique relationship between Lincoln and Douglas? Frank Kilmeade joins me now to discuss.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. We normally talk about the breaking news of the moment, of the day that we're having the discussion, but sometimes we set down the front page of the paper to talk a little bit more with those who are making the news or reporting on it or sometimes expounding upon it. And my next guest has done that all brilliantly in his latest release, The President and the Freedom Fighter. He is the hardest working man in all of media because he not only gets up and does morning drive television, he then does talk radio for 3 hours a day and somehow finds time to about every, 12 hours or so, release a new bestseller to the New York Times. Brian Kilmeade, welcome back to Kevin McCullough. Good to have you.
Kevin, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You are literally one of the busiest guys. Where do you find time? Because I think you were just with us like yesterday or the day before talking about your last book.
Yeah, Sam Houston. But, believe it or not, it was the paperback came out a year. It was 2019, so it came out in the spring. And instead of waiting a year to paperback, they just put it out about 5 months later. The pandemic hit, so you really couldn't promote it. And then I just been working on this for 2 years and 2 months.
Yeah,
and it was easier than usual because there was very few shoots. You know, I'm doing that series on Fox Nation called What Made America Great. And usually I'm touring around and I'm trying to write on the fly. And, I'm actually talking into my phone, different ideas. And this time when I was done at noon with the radio, I could kind of focus on it because there was very few things distracting.
Nice.
So now with the pandemic subsided, so I could have what seems to be a regular tour. I'm en route to Albany, then going to Elkhart, Indiana, last night in Pennsylvania, the day before, in Connecticut. So I get a chance to talk to people. And when we do the speeches, I'm kind of in the news because this is race.
And no, it totally is.
Yes,
and that was one of the things
that Eric Adams is talking about.
Yeah. Now, this is one of the things that I really think is going to be special about this book, Brian. And I've loved all your works, but I do think that this one has some really potential unique things about it. And I would love to see Lin-Manuel Miranda come around and do a musical treatment on this story. But beyond that, I'd love to see an in-depth documentary on the things that you play out here, because I consider myself a decent student of history. I wouldn't say that I'm great. I had no real idea the way these two storylines intermingled with each other. So let's start at the beginning. What caught your attention about bringing the story of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass together in one book?
Well, your passion for history allows you to, allows me to come on your show. So I know you're into it. You know, I left off with Sam Houston, and what's next? I want to move up the chain. At some point, I'm not interested in doing World War II. I feel like that's plowed ground, and I thought the Civil War was the same thing. I just think everyone writes about those two wars. What could I do different? And I thought, what about these two guys? How could I not talk about the African-American experience or only talk about that? How do I give context to the story when it would really, there's so many nuances to it and we're still debating it today?
Right.
So I thought, Frederick Douglass, I did not know it, but do you realize the turn of the century, the 20th century, he began to fade. Even though he dominated with seven presidents, his writings were everywhere, his newspaper was everywhere, his autobiography was updated 3-4 times. He quickly faded from memory. And it was this guy, Phil Fawner, that brought him back, and a David Blight that made him a bestseller. And his book got Book of the Year, Pulitzer, I think it was the number one book of the year about 3-4 years ago, maybe more. and Lincoln's got the best writers ever have been researching Lincoln still.
Sure.
So I said, what if I talk about the similarities between these two self-made men that nobody thought would amount to anything, let alone be indispensable in our history at our most vital time? And what's consistent? Lincoln. This guy's born to two illiterate parents, abject poverty, middle of nowhere. Mom dies at 9. At that point, take a snapshot. Would he be the one to bring us back together as a country, lose 600,000 lives, and be around to steer us back after winning re-election and Frederick Douglass born a slave, as brutal as you can imagine it? And we know the details because he wrote about it. In his life, 7 years after escaping, he writes a best-selling biography, about 120 pages, that enlightened a lot of people to the horrors of slavery in America, but it also would transpose to every continent on the planet. And a lot of people thought we have to live up to our Constitution. You know, freedom for all, life, liberty, and happiness. How are we going to do that while keeping 4 million enslaved? Sadly, we had to fight a war to do it, but on the positive side, we have these two great men emerge to lead us and set an example.
Well, and you point out that while their ultimate efforts were working towards the same end, that they had strong disagreement about how each other was approaching the job, particularly from Frederick Douglass's perspective. Expound on that for a little bit.
Well, I mean, Douglass said, okay, you know it's wrong. You wrote about how with the Founding Father, and you spoke about what the Founding Father thought about slavery, that it was wrong. You talked about how they were trying to get rid of it. Now you have an opportunity to get rid of it, and you give an inaugural speech, and the inaugural is about getting back together and compromising and allowing the South to keep slaves and even giving them a 13th Amendment that would allow slavery to exist in America. How could you do that? Did you dupe us? And he didn't, because his goal was not to deceive. His ideal was to get rid of slavery, but his goal was to get America back together. 7 states had left the country. So Douglass couldn't understand why you'd just go in there and hear the demands and go fight it out. We'll win in 90 days. It'll be be a knockout. And I believe, and many other experts believe too, that he did this. He did the colonization thing publicly and brought all the newspapers in to offer these other black leaders this opportunity to show the white population, I've tried everything. We have to learn to live together.
Lincoln was much more methodical. He was much more processed by the wanting to make sure that all of the important priorities were met along the way, including the reunification of the United States. They not only kind of moved their positions into the other column, but they saw the value of what the other had done. Explain.
A couple of things. Number one, in life, we're sending out broadcasts, putting things on social media, and a lot of misperceptions and anger builds. And it just shows you how much derision could be avoided if you just talk to somebody face to face.
Right.
And as much as Frederick Douglass has been a critic, he saw so much promise in what Lincoln was saying and writing that he was so let down because, you know, when you expect more from someone, it makes when they don't reach those heights, you're just disappointed as if someone that you expected less of let you down as you expected. So when he finally walks in and meets Lincoln and writes in detail what he looked like, so I'm in a rumpled suit sitting in a chair much too big. He was much too big for the chair he was sitting in, and notice how long his legs were and how he propped up to see Douglass, who he knew had written a lot of very bad things about him, but he didn't care. One thing about Lincoln, can you help? Maybe you have a better idea. Let's hear it. Here's what I think. And what struck Douglass is that what a listener he was, how deep a thinker he was. And he was in awe of Lincoln's speeches, how crisp and concise they were. As Lincoln, even though he didn't write it, had said to others how he saw the intellectual power and what a giant he was, Douglass he was. So even though Lincoln had written some things about whites and blacks not being equal and all those things, but they're saying that blacks should have their freedom, you don't have prejudice if you treat Douglass the way you did and the interactions with which they had. And Douglass could pick this up a mile away. He believed he was dealing with a guy without any racial tendencies at all. If Douglass thought that way, how dare a San Francisco grammar school take his name off a building or a statue down because the Lincoln didn't live up to your ideals? I mean, they even took the statue down in his hometown of Rochester, New York. That's how clueless this generation is. But when they started meeting together, they started working together, They met three times, and they were supposed to meet four times. And then they would help. He would help recruiting in a furious way. In fact, Douglas put his two sons enlisted in the Army to fight for freedom on the 54th Infantry, which was, as you know, Denzel Washington brought us glory years ago in that movie and won awards for a great reason.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back. See you.
We're talking with Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates. Dan, you and your firm get the right medical treatments for your clients. You get around them. You support them. It's not all about the money.
We have a rule in the office. It's a do unto others as you'd have them do unto you rule, which you know where that comes from. And basically, we will not send you to any doctor that we wouldn't send our own family members to. There are plenty of lawyers who will send you to doctors who will butcher you up to make the case better. I think that's abhorrent. I think that's evil. And it's not about making my firm money. It's about getting you better and getting you back to your normal life. So we send you to only top doctors, hospital for joint diseases, hospital for special surgery, chiefs of neurology at Maimonides. I mean, we have a panel of doctors that are amazing and the type of doctors that you would want to see and will make you better.
Buttafuoco & Associates screens all cases before starting so they can speak confidently in court knowing all aspects of your case. Call them today to get more information at 800-669-4878. That's 800 now hurt.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you got lower back pain, neck pain, upper back pain, even sciatica, maybe completely debilitated from walking due to the amounts of pain in your back, then you need to talk to my great friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. As the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she specializes in that non-surgical spinal decompression. And what I love about Dr. Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, not with scary injections or surgery, but she wants to make sure your spine is healthy. She gives you a complete diagnosis. And if you have a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she is going to point you in an all-natural direction first that will not cut on your body or put shots into your system. Find out for yourself, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain and doing things like walk freely again and playing with your kids or grandkids. So call Dr. Keller now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller and the Brooklyn Spine Center help you today. That's 718-234-6200 or brooklynspinecenter.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Every week we promise you, you're going to get some insight on the mortgage markets, what's going on with housing specifically. And Brian Sheely is here from Fellowship Home Loans. Brian, rising inflation is everywhere. So what does it mean to the mortgage market?
When you write a blank check, the money's got to come from somewhere. And what we're seeing now is the cost of everything going up. And what's going to follow suit? Well, it's going to be interest rates. We're fortunate and blessed right now that rates are still near historic lows, but they're all the signs are pointing to they have to follow suit and go up. You want to keep money in your pocket? Consolidate those bills with a low fixed rate. It's amazing how much money people are saving. We just looked at a client that came in here, consolidated a few of their bills, a first mortgage and a home equity loan as well, and they're saving almost $1,000 a month. But like we always say, Kevin, it always starts with a phone call. You need an honest assessment, an honest what we call mortgage checkup to see exactly where you stand.
And you're readily telling people that these interest rates that we have now, which are historic lows, are not going to be there for much longer.
Yeah, I mean, no one has a crystal ball. And I think we've seen enough people get these predictions wrong in the past. But everything is going up around us. The price of everything is going up. Interest rates are going to follow suit. And that's one way for the government to try and get that money back.
Well, friends, if you would like Mike and Brian to take a look at your mortgage situation and maybe help you consolidate some of those payments as well, you need to call them. 1-800-804-SAVE is the number. 1-800-804-7283 if you need the exact numbers. 800-804-7283 or 1-800-804-SAVE if that is easier to remember. 1-800-804-SAVE. Brian, always appreciate your insights. Thanks for helping out.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. During Reconstruction, and despite Johnson's position on that, you still had this amazing growth of civil rights across the board for Black Americans. You have the starting of the Republican Party in several states headed by former slaves. You have your first Black people elected to Congress during this era. And really, up until the turn of the century, you had this kind of consistent progress. And I got to think that, you know, if you didn't have Lincoln and certainly if you didn't have Douglas doing what they did in the lead up to that, that era as well would have gone by. But, Brian, what happened following Reconstruction? Why did we lose all of that progress and find ourselves essentially going backwards by about the turn of the century?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what Bret Baier focused on, which is a great book called Rescue the Republic. But suffice it to say, the South wasn't ready to make the transition, and many walks they had to be forced to with security and people enforcing the law. Instead, they were their own law enforcement agencies, and they started saying, hey, I have an idea. You stand over there, we'll stand over there. You go to your schools, you deal with your families, but let's do it separate.
Yeah.
And then with some hands-off presidents like Rutherford B. Hayes, just let things take place. And Ulysses S. Grant had to come in and really put out a raging fire. And yeah. You know what? For the most part, he did it. But he was sending the army into the South to just allow people to vote. And there were certain times, too, where when you're trying to get – when you go back to elections, national elections, what about the sanctity of the governor? Is he a Southern governor? Is he someone who understands it's going to be union, not union as in the United States of America? Or is it going to be the Confederation of States? And is it going to be the South just put off without the uniforms? And you had to look at that. And a couple of times, Grant, when he was running for election, had to turn his head and allow some of this horrific treatment of blacks in states. Because if he clamped down, he might have lost that state and lost his reelection and his election. So you, again, had making deals in order to move the country forward. Those deals, the original one was slavery. And then you have other deals along the way that try to cobble together these very diverse 13, 18, 26, 30 states and now 50. The last 10, probably not an issue. But when you bring in Texas, you bring in their values and their priorities. And they got to somehow mesh with Massachusetts.
Right.
And that's what these presidents had to deal with. And that's why I just think the conversation we're having is important. Because people think we just had this 50-state thing and we wiped out the Indians and we took a country over. This was gradual. Each state has a different story. And in the middle, we have a civil war.
Well, and to your point, we've not learned the lessons thoroughly. And that's why sometimes revisiting history helps us remember what's really important. And I want to kind of go full circle back to where we started. This is a timely book from the standpoint of being published in a post George Floyd universe. And I'm curious, what are some of the lessons that impacted you personally in these stories and observations about how we can implement some of these ideas maybe to create a better union today?
A couple of things. If you grow up in abject poverty and you don't see the potential and you're left uneducated and you don't see anything besides that night's sleep and that morning sun, you don't long for more. And the need for education, you know, we always hear this growing up. Education is so important. Okay, right. Is that going to be on the test? Oh, education is important. Well, will my degree get me a job? Not what you learn, but what you get out of education, what you can achieve and maybe how much money you can demand. But what really struck me is their thirst, separately, thousands of miles apart, to learn. despite obstacles, they knew they had to learn. And the minute they learned, they were trapped in what their life could become. And then that breeds frustration, especially with Douglas's part, because he couldn't get out of the blocks. How can I achieve what Cicero, Socrates, Caesar, Washington, Benjamin Franklin wrote about, and that he read about in The Crummian Orator, which is a great book everybody should download? How can I achieve what they achieved while enslaved? If he never was educated, his imagination wouldn't have caught fire. He wouldn't have gotten his freedom. That's why it was against the law to teach a slave, man or woman, to read and write. They knew if you teach them, they're going to want more. And if they want more, they wouldn't stay there. And that, to me, really drove home the other conversation that's in the news is, what are you learning? But for a year, kids really didn't learn anything. These Zoom classes are terrible. Some of them were necessary. They're way overdone, way too cautious. We should have got these kids back in school a lot sooner. And what do you learn? You atrophy. You mentally atrophy. And that, to me, is sinful. And if I wasn't doing this research and writing this at the same time, I wouldn't have fully appreciated that. And the need to continue to learn more, the thirst to learn more. And how lucky we should feel that these systems are set up, that all we have to do is pick a school. There is a school. And there's a lot of places in this world there was none. You had to seek it. Lincoln had 1 year of formal education. Frederick Douglass had zero.
Wow. And yet what they achieved, regardless. The book is called The President and the Freedom Fighter, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and their battle to save America's soul. Brian Kilmeade is its author and has done a phenomenal job. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Brian's books. I think this is going to be special on a lot of different levels because it is a book for our time in one of the biggest issues that we're facing and discussing on a daily basis. Some people would say, Brian, ad nauseum. Some people would say we've learned these lessons and we need to just be reminded of what those outcomes were. But regardless of where you are on the racial pendulum, this is something that's not going away, and I think the insights of Lincoln and Douglass combined makes a very, very good gift to this generation. So, Brian, on just behalf of humanity, thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
And don't give up on my idea. Let's get a documentary shot, and let's get Lin-Manuel Miranda starting with some scores here.
Right. I'll just write it myself because I'm musical. I was old junior high in eighth grade. But I would say this. We did a story. It's now on Fox Nation. We did an hour special that aired on November 7th on Fox News at 10 p.m. looking at the President of Freedom Fighter. I went to Indiana, went to Washington, went to Rochester, went to Maryland, went to his house right in Washington that overlooked the Capitol. And you really get into the White House, where they first met. And I kind of tried to rebuild the story the best I could.
Nice. With
some great producers.
So that's at Fox Nation. People can find it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go in.
You got a quick sense of the story.
Go check that out. But friends, get the book. And you know what? Buy a bunch of copies for people for the holidays, because this is going to make a great gift for anybody that you give it to. Brian Kilmeade, Long Island's proudest. Thank you for being with us today.
All right, Kevin. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Continue success with your show.
You got it. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Stay here.
Attention Americans age 65 and older. The Medicare annual enrollment period ends December 7th. Now is the time to select your Medicare Advantage plan for 2022. Get ready for an important toll-free hotline where you can get your free 2022 Medicare benefits review. Do you currently have a copay, a high deductible? Do you pay extra for dental and vision? Are your out-of-pocket expenses just too high? If you answered yes to any of these, then call 800-871-1592. A SmartMatch licensed insurance agent can help you compare plans, which can include $0 copays, $0 deductibles, even $0 premiums, plus dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. Having the wrong Medicare plan can cost you thousands. So call today before annual enrollment ends on December 7th. The service is free, with no obligation. So call today. Call 800-871-1592. That's 800-871-1592. 800-871-1592.
If you were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out, you need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshare and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have 383 employees and have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. If you were told at a timeshare presentation that this was available today and today only, that timeshare was a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, call my office now. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-969-5511. 800-969-5511. 800-969-5511.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Are you facing yet another holiday season alone? Are you missing the fun of real connections? When was the last time you met someone you were really excited about? So be honest, what does your love life look like? Hi, I'm Jackie Dorman. If you're looking for the answers to these questions, I've got a solution. I'm personally inviting you to join me and thousands of women just like you to my free Married in 12 Months Challenge, happening now at lovestories.com. From the privacy of your own home, you will become part of an amazing worldwide movement of women where you'll experience how to reclaim your love life, heal your heart, and unlock the secret to finding your spirit mate. Just sign up for my free Married in 12 Months Challenge at lovestories.com. The challenge is happening now at lovestories.com. That's lovestories.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, I'm so glad to have you with us on this day before the holiday, and I hope that you and your family do have a very nice Thanksgiving celebration tomorrow. I hope you have things to be grateful for, and if you think you don't, I hope you decide that you do, and you decide to give thanks for something anyway. Inez Fletcher Stepman is joining us. Now, she is one of the editors over at a thing called The Bright Email. You know that because Kelsey Bowler has been with us for the last several years talking about The Bright Email, but Inez, you have some news for us today. The little one has arrived.
That's right. Mommy and baby are healthy, so it's a wonderful thing. But that's why Kelsey had to duck out for a little bit. She's taking maternity leave, but she will be back.
Yeah. Well, and we're glad to have you. I was very glad to get to meet you at the Manhattan Institute Gala this year. You and your husband were at the next table over. And Carol Markowitz was sitting there with us, and she says to my bride and to myself, she goes, "You know who that is, don't you?" And I said, "No." She said, that's Inez Stepman. I said, "No, Inez has blonde hair. I read the Bright Email. She has blonde hair. And she doesn't wear glasses. And you had glasses, and you were brunette." So I was like, I was all confused. But I was so glad to make your acquaintance that night and so glad to get you on the show. So thanks for being here. Real quickly, for people that aren't familiar with the Bright Email, just give us the elevator pitch so that people understand what it is and why it exists.
Sure. So we have five different editors, one for each day. And so it's intended to be not just a newsletter, because we know that there's a ton of newsletters out there, but it's really intended to cover not just the news, but to cover culture. And we have plenty of male subscribers, but it's kind of geared at a female audience. And so we pick out what we think are the most important stories of the day, add some analysis. One of my personal favorite things about Bright, and I was a subscriber long before I wrote for it, is the fact that we give you for the top stories, we give you a couple paragraphs of them. So then you can decide whether you want to keep reading, but you don't have to immediately exit the email. Like, you can just read the email straight through, as opposed to just being a series of links, which I always find in the morning. I don't have the patience to go through a bunch of links.
And I've just always thought that if half the population is being ignored in the conversation, you're probably missing out on stuff. So I like having female perspectives on this show every single day, and I'm glad to get you in the rotation, Inez. It's, you're a great thinker. It comes through in your writing. It's one of the things we try to help people get better at. Let's give people an update. What's the latest with Waukesha, Wisconsin, and what's going down there?
I really feel for the folks there. One of my colleagues over at the Federalist, Jamie Metzger, wrote this really amazing piece that I included in Bright Email, but about the importance of community and how that community is coming together. And it actually just reminded me of all the things that I think as a nation we're losing. We've had people just opening up their coffee shops and stuff for free, just giving people free drinks, hot drinks, taking things to the families of the bereaved, or the people who died that day. It was a good reminder that there are really still a lot of places in America where that's still true, where there is a real community and where people respond to tragedy instead of, sort of splitting apart by politics. They actually have come together. But then, of course, there is the political angle of this. And I think the biggest political angle of this is just what we're not hearing. You asked me to provide an update. There isn't much of an update. Why? Because the media is not really interested in finding out why this guy actually did what he did.
Well, it's been interesting, Inez, because the last few days, whether it is the aftermath of the Rittenhouse trial, where we found out that these guys that Kyle killed in self-defense were basically terrible human beings. I mean, one was a child rapist. The other one regularly strangled and beat his girlfriend. And these were not nice guys. But the left has some sort of, like, warped perspective. And they're willing to look at people like this, the guy that drove into the crowd in Waukesha, and the guys that were victims in the Rittenhouse trial. And they have this angelic, like, blessing that they give them. And you're like, people, you don't even know what right and wrong look like anymore. And you say in today's Bright Email that actually you'd watch the Tucker Carlson Rittenhouse interview, and that he came off looking mature. Not only did he come off looking mature, he's telling the truth on all sides, because he calls his own lawyers out for mistreatment before trial came around. And I just love when we have people that have clear integrity and can stand up and say, wait a minute, no, this is the truth. We got to have a lot more of that in this society if we're going to make any difference going forward. And I think that to that end, I think Bright does a good job of trying to highlight these cultural values and doing a good job. And you're doing a great job there on the Wednesday edition. And I look forward to having you back.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for all those compliments. I'm blushing, but it's wonderful to be here on the show with you. And we'll hang out for a while Kelsey and the baby are having a good time at home. So,
all right. If you speak to her before I do, give her our very best. Okay, Kevin McCullough, we're coming right back. Speaking of parents, it's Shelley Goldberg with this week's Parenting Express tip. Don't go away.
In a world of uncertainties, strife, and struggles, we need to experience wonders, the wonders of the cross.
It's coming your way. Breakthrough, healing, miracle, deliverance, supernatural, coming upon every life in Jesus' name.
I, with an international gospel evangelist, Pastor Dr. W.F. Kumuyi, ministering the word with power. Also ministering in songs is an international gospel music artist, William McDowell.
Thursday, November 25th through Tuesday, November 30th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time daily. Watch online via webcast.dclm.org. Join in live at Deeper Life Bible Church, Irvington, New Jersey, or call 973-202-3989 for more information.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I can't make heads or tails of elder law or estate care, and I got to tell you, Mike Connors does. That's why I want you to get your questions asked from him every Thursday on my show, Kevin McCullough Radio. Just email your question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call 718-238-6500. Then listen to Mike's show Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock on AM 570 The Mission and FM 102.3, and Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970 The Answer.
Life can be tumultuous. To survive the chaos, give thanks. Not feeling it? Well, give thanks anyway. Give thanks for the job you have and the job you didn't get. For the healthy checkup and the unsettling diagnosis. For the money saved and the bills that are due. In everything, give thanks. Join us in giving thanks. AM 570, The Mission.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Now, you know that MyPillow doesn't have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture. In other words, they've been canceled. So they want to pass the savings on directly to you now. You can now get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their standard classic MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98, with promo code WMCA. They will also have the queen size, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98, with promo code WMCA. And king size, regularly $89.98, now only $29.98, again with promo code WMCA. So let's support Mike and all the fabulous MyPillow products. Go to 800-651-0798, that's 800-651-0798, and use promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code there, WMCA.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. She's helped parents do it better since her days at New York One. Now, she helps you hack the parenting code, one tip at a time. Shelley Goldberg and the Parenting Express, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, once again, let me just reiterate, it's my favorite time of year. Part of the reason it is because of the holiday that we celebrate, Thanksgiving. I just said earlier in the show, we are a society that is in some degree of need of learning how to be grateful for the everyday blessings that we have. And I have a feeling we're going to discuss that a little bit more in depth about how to help our children understand that. Shelley Goldberg, the aforementioned, rejoins us. Hello, Shelley. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Hope you're well.
Thank you, Kevin. Same to you. Have a glorious holiday. Thank you.
Yeah. So what is it about gratitude that we need to am I wrong? Do we have everything under control in terms of like teaching the next generation to be grateful? Or do you think this is a little bit sorely lacking in society?
I sense, Kevin, that you feel that it's probably lacking and we could do a little better in this area. But I certainly feel that way. And there's so many things as parents and grandparents we can do, because look, gratitude is a concept that's been around since the beginning of time. And why? It's critical in that it reminds us of the beauty in the world. It reminds us of the goodness in life. It reminds us about all the special people in our lives and basically just how truly blessed we are. And I think that especially when you're in the midst of a pandemic and people are feeling and kids are feeling you know, depressed and anxious, we tend to forget that there is so much goodness and so many wonderful helping people and kind people in the world. So I wanted to concentrate on gratitude because especially during this time, you know, during COVID, there are so many things that gratitude does for us and does for our children. So here are some of them. Gratitude in general, if you practice it, it helps you to be more optimistic. Gratitude can affect your overall mood. It can calm down fear. It can calm down anxiety. And that's really helpful, especially for our kids in the middle of all this, you know, uncertainty and all this fear that we're living under constantly. Gratitude helps us all to focus, to zero in on what our values are. It helps us to zero in on what's meaningful to us and what is the definition of a meaningful life. So it's really important to look for patterns. Gratitude can build resilience. And it helps you to notice what things in life you have control over and what things in life you have absolutely no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you also to come up with creative ways that you can give back to other people. So it does a heck of a lot. In fact, Kevin, there's even studies that show that practicing gratitude affects children and adults physiologically, that your physical health is better if you're practicing gratitude. So what are some ways that you can do this? How can you help your kids and yourself? Number one, you can't just practice gratitude one time over Thanksgiving. Tomorrow will be the kickoff. It will be the beginning of a family tradition. But ideally, you want to do this daily. You want to do it around the dinner table. You want to, or maybe when your kids, before you go to bed and they're saying their prayers, or when you get up in the morning. How do you do it? Thank you notes, text messages, letting people know how grateful you are that they're in your life, that you're thinking of them. Maybe it's someone you went to grammar school with, a colleague that you, Kevin, worked with at your first job. Maybe someone that your kids remember from kindergarten or first grade, relatives you haven't seen, you know, in 5 years. Reach back. Think of maybe it's the store clerk that you always wanted to say thank you to because they greet you with a warm smile. But saying thank you, notes, texts, all of those things. Two, start writing in a journal. Writing is very powerful, so you want a gratitude journal. Three, remember that the small things are key to everything. It's the small things. It's not, gee, I'm grateful Dad, you know, bought a new house. It's, gee, the cup of coffee, the warm smell of that delicious chocolate chip cookie Mom made, the warm shower, you know, we went bowling. It's the small things. That's really the key. Three, you want to make it a daily habit. Four, look for patterns. I notice the things I'm always thankful for kind of revolve around the family dog, the trees, nature. In other words, the pattern, the first thing in my life that comes up, it's a pattern of nature. You know, the blue sky or seeing the birds. But you will learn by seeing what it is you're always grateful for. Is there a pattern that has to do with food, you know, that has to do with nature, that has to do with friends, you know, and family? But look for those patterns. Also, what you're trying to do here is train your brain and your child's brain to see goodness in life, to see goodness everywhere. And in closing, another way to exhibit and to teach gratitude is to teach your kids how to reframe the past. So, for example, Kevin, you might tell a story around the dinner table how when you got fired from that job working as a store clerk, you were so disappointed, but that somehow opened the door for you to go into broadcasting. Or the young woman that broke your heart and you thought you'd never get over it, it opened the door to you meeting your bride, the woman that you married, the mother of your children. But it's almost having gratitude for the things that you think broke your heart and didn't work out, but they took you to the better step, the next step, the better door that opened in your life. The Importance of Gratitude in the Time of COVID by Sherry Gordon. I want to thank her for a fabulous article with great suggestions for parents. Kevin, your thoughts?
Oh, I love all of that. And just there was one that caught my ear early in your list there, and that was going out of your way to tell people that maybe you wouldn't normally tell. We have two crossing guards that work at one of the schools that my kids attend, and nobody ever says thank you to them. So every now and then I just try to roll the window down as I'm pulling by and say, hey, thanks for all that you're doing to help keep our kids safe. Just getting across the street. And, you know, they say, hey, you know, nobody ever says that. That's so sweet. Look for people. Look for ways. Look for opportunities. And I guarantee you, if you look for them, they will come. You will see them if you look for opportunities to say thank you. And another thing that I think is a good suggestion, someone suggested it a couple of years to me, Shelley, is try to find someone to say thank you to every day. If you're actively thinking, I need to thank someone today, then you're probably going to end up thanking four or five people every day. But if you're thinking of it ahead of time, you're on the lookout for things to say thank you for. And that, I think, turns into a really good habit anyway. So those are some of my thoughts. Shelley, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kevin. And I have tremendous gratitude that you're in my life. Thank you so very much.
Well, I thank you as well. All right, Calvin McCullough, coming right back. Final thought. Don't go away. This is the
day when join Greg Laurie for a new beginning.
While there are reasons to be troubled, there's a greater reason not to be.
Now at its new time, Monday through Friday mornings at 6:30.
Jesus says in verse 10, trust in God. Trust also in me. I haven't brought you this far to abandon you now. I know what I'm doing, so I'm asking you to believe.
Greg Laurie, A New Beginning, Monday through Friday morning, 6:30 on WMCA.
For a free evaluation of your case, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you got lower back pain, neck pain, upper back pain, even sciatica, maybe completely debilitated from walking due to the amounts of pain in your back, then you need to talk to my great friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. As the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she specializes in that non-surgical spinal decompression. And what I love about Dr. Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, not with scary injections or surgery, but she wants to make sure your spine is healthy. She gives you a complete diagnosis. And if you have a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she is going to point you in an all-natural direction first that will not cut on your body or put shots into your system. Find out for yourself, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain and doing things like walk freely again and playing with your kids or grandkids. So call Dr. Keller now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller in the Brooklyn Spine Center help you today. That's 718-234-6200 or brooklynspinecenter.com.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. They miss out on the things that make being a kid fun. Starlight Children's Foundation has delivered happiness to 17 million seriously ill kids and their families at more than 800 children's hospitals and healthcare facilities. Our programs entertain and inspire hospitalized kids. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And I do hope that you have a very thankful Thanksgiving this weekend, and I hope you get to spend some time with some family and do some, you know, play some games, have some fun. And for those of you that have a little bit of a tougher time with holidays that leave us in that situation, my prayers and thoughts will be with you this weekend. I know of some people that are going through different people going through different types of trials and tribulations right now, and it is hard. And my heart goes out to them, and I pray that is not you. But that if it is, that God would give you great grace and peace in the midst of it. Now, a little bit of interesting news. Was reading the New York Times this morning, and I'd still take a look at the Times, even though I don't often think very highly of their work. And there was a very interesting article in the edition today about how soon the masks will come off. The big, long editorial piece that one of their writers put in there, and I was a little bit surprised because everybody's like, you know, well, the left is going to keep the masks on. Turns out the left doesn't really like the masks either. And so you're starting to get some from the far left of the culture. You're starting to get some complaining and grumbling and, woe is me-ism from people that are on that end of the political spectrum. And the article mentioned that now that vaccines are available for people of all ages and that, you've got all these different options out here. You've even got, I've just been told recently, up to 15 different therapeutics for people that get, it's not just, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. You've got literally 15 different protocols using all kinds of drugs that continue to be manufactured and made, and it looks like we're making progress. We're getting a slight uptick because people are going back indoors, but man, we've gathered in places we haven't gathered in quite some time, and it doesn't look like the world's falling apart, which is very, very good news. So it's with that as the backdrop that I ran across this little gem from Santa Cruz, California yesterday. Now, you gotta remember, California is essentially worthless. Like, it serves no purpose. It does not send money to the rest of the United States. It is a drain on resources. They are draining the federal treasury with all of the entitlements they're giving away. Gavin Newsom's running the place into the ground. Every big company has left. Their big cities have turned into human toilets that, people just do their business on the street. It's so bad. It's nothing like, if you've ever been there in the good days, it's not like that anymore. But someone in Santa Cruz County thought it would be really good to pass a mask mandate that people will have to wear them in their houses. Not on the sidewalk, not at school, not in the public business arena, in their own homes. They're going to mandate that the people of Santa Cruz County have to wear them in their homes. Now, this is just how far California has slipped, because some weird politician in Sacramento thought, hey, this is a good idea. How do you enforce that? How do you sheriff that? Do you literally put uniform people going door to door? Excuse me, we're from the government. We're here to help. Is that what you do? Come on. We can do much better than that. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.